Good afternoon, or should I say good morning here in Atlanta, and it must be afternoon in India this time. And welcome back to CIOs and Bow Ties. This is your CIO, Greg Silberman, speaking. Very, very excited about our guest on the line today. Her name is Shraddha Sharma. And Shraddha is the founder, CEO, and chief editor of Your Story, a media technology platform for entrepreneurs. Before starting Your Story in 2008, Sharma served as an assistant vice president at CNBC TV 18 and also a brand advisor at the Times of India. So welcome, Sharma.
Very honored to be talking to you, Gregory. I look forward to our conversation today.
Yes, as do I. As we were saying in our chat a little bit before we started this, myself and my listeners are very interested in India. You know, we certainly see the transition going on. We see we've got this little concept we've been running for some time, and that is that global power is actually gradually moving. Let me get this right. West across the globe, and so you know you can go all the way back to. The Middle East, then the Mediterranean, then Western Europe, United States, China, India, and then finally back to my home continent of Africa. So we're very excited. We really do believe that that is a true trend, and that India's time is if not now, you know, soon to be now. But I believe it is now. So that said. Interested in what you've got to say. So tell me a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, about the how you got the idea for Your Story, the evolution of Your Story. I read something that you've chronicled or detailed about 40,000 startups at this time. I mean, that is a whopping number. And, you know, as we all know, and give us a sense of a bit of scale of India. I mean, India is a massive country, a lot of people. So, A lot in the first question, Sharma, but let's hear from you about your story, please.
So, Gregory, I'm very excited to be talking to you. And you rightly said it is a very interesting time in India. And honestly, I feel like for me as an Indian, I am personally very excited to be at, you know, in India, in Bangalore, the city I am in, because there's so much of activity happening. But what if I had to describe India in one word, and if you had to feel India, then it is right now there is so much of optimism and hope in the country, which is very, very conspicuous when you come to India. So just to give you a context, the average age of an Indian, we are a very young country, is 27 years of age, and that's the median age here. And we are 1.3 billion people, and that's like huge. And for me, the whole context of starting Your Story, as you introduced, I was with CNBC, Times of India. And for me, I was like, oh, there's so many young people doing interesting things and their voices get lost, because as a country, we celebrate success. We are always looking up who is very successful, who's made a lot of money, but we don't celebrate the early days. And I said, okay, let's chronicle the early days when nobody's championing you. Your story will champion and give you a voice, give you a platform and tell your stories. And I'm very happy to say that it took me a lot of time, but we have today, you know, you said 40, now we have told 80,000 stories, reach wow. Millions of people in the country and across the globe, and somewhere have shaped the narrative of the, you know, the whole startup innovation ecosystem in India, which is very, very big. So if you see from the prime minister in of the country to the people on the streets today, startup has become like a buzzword and a mainstream word. Because just to set context, when I said we have 1.3 billion people and with the average age of 27, what it also throws is that we, India requires 10 million jobs a year for the next 10 years. Now, that job, those jobs are not going to come from the traditional industries only. And that's why startups and innovation is a big charter in this country.
Yeah. I mean, the scale is just, it's a huge opportunity and I guess a huge challenge as well. So let me dive into some specific areas, if I might, Sharma. And again, this is of interest, particularly to our listeners who are ultra high net worth family office type listeners who are looking to deploy capital into opportunities such as this. And so when we see India from the outside, you know, certainly we see a large poverty aspect of it, and that's fine, and that, you know, the tide will rise, will make all boats rise, so that's a great thing. But we also perceive that you know, the penetration of simple banking relationships, or the ability for people to transact on a financial basis, seems limited to a degree, but also at the same time seems completely ripe for kind of a fintech movement into the banking industry. So can you please address that, particularly about what you're seeing for the unbanked, or the, you know, the movement of fintech in the banking money movement side of things?
Gregory, that's a very good point. You know, in India, banking is very ripe for innovation. Just to tell you, India is world's second biggest fintech hub. We have 2,035 startups building innovating, interesting solutions for the Indian population, because banking is still not completely, you know, it's the vast majority of the population still does not have banking facilities, and government has made a lot of effort. But what it means is that the unbanked, the number would go in millions, and therefore startups are today leveraging. And out of these 2,035 startups, a lot of them have also raised venture capital money, because people are seeing huge scale. And I don't know if you've heard of this company called Paytm, which is around $7 to $8 billion startup here in India.
So to
set a context, there's a huge opportunity, because there's a market for 500 million people who have to come and get solutions in, you know, financial solutions, get financial inclusion to happen, and that is a huge opportunity, I would say.
Yeah, indeed. And perhaps a parallel that I picked up in South Africa, that those 500 million people, I assume a good portion of them have access to a smartphone or some kind of device which can be used to tap into a financial system, correct?
Yeah. And also, just to set context on, you were saying that the perception is that India is, there's a lot of poverty. But what's interesting is that if you see, according to the latest statistics, India is the fastest growing economy right now. And our GDP has been at 7.3. In fact, we had this demonetization. Before demonetization, our GDP was consistently growing at 8%. So, and China right now is at 5%. So right now, the next 10 years, we believe that the rate of growth will be 7.3 to 8%, which again, what it means is that there is a lot of disposable income today, a very significantly rising high middle class in the country. And to me, those are interesting opportunities if you look at from fintech or any other opportunity perspective in India.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So let me ask you one further question before we go for a short break, Sharma. So our listeners are, you know, pretty active in the VC space here in the United States. We're all accustomed to the Silicon Valley startup scene, and certainly the valuations that have occurred there. And in certain respects, you know, some people, I think a majority of people will say there's actually overvaluation at that point. So as a parallel to Silicon Valley, you know, I'm thinking about startups and venture capital in India. Tell us what you think about valuations in India. Should we think of it as a kind of a, you know, a startup plus some kind of premium, being in India, demographics, et cetera? Talk to us a little bit about how you think about valuations.
Again, a very interesting question, Gregory. See, the valuation in India has seen its ups and downs, but like 2014, I would say 2014, early 2015 were heady days for valuation, because when it comes to India, with the size of population, the demographic dividend, which we talk about, and the, you know, the number of digital users that we have 350 million digital consumers, and the next 500 million, which we call Bharat, the digital you know, people who are directly coming and consuming on mobile. So with all that happening, the valuation, you know, the valuation benchmarks were high in 2014-15. But if you ask me today, in 2018-19, if you're looking at companies and investing, you get very good pricing. Like the pricing are very realistic because people are saying, okay, India has growth, but you know, and has great population, but we really need to see exits, because one of the places where India has not performed so very well is in seeing extraordinary exits. But one of the big exits was, you know, which you would have heard of, Flipkart being sold to Walmart, right? And that was like a $16 billion exit, which we saw last year. But Indian VCs are looking at those kind of exits. So they know that they can't be starting at a huge, huge premium because they need to have exits. So we've seen mid-range exits, a lot of those, but those bumper exits have still eluded us. So there is a lot of rational valuation which are being given out to the entrepreneurs and businesses in the country right now.
Okay, well, that's music to our ears for sure, because we certainly like value investing. So real quick, again, I did say we were going to go to a break, but you sparked my interest in one area. What form do exits typically take in India? Is it a sale to a foreign buyer or a listing, or what form does it take?
So, you know, again, very interesting time, because people recognized 2-3 years back that exit is becoming an issue. So one is that the government of India has come up with this listing for, like, there's an SME listing, small and medium exchange, which is now where the startups can get listed, which was never there. So now it has just taken shape a year back. So we're seeing interesting companies getting on that listing for exit. Second, you know, these companies like Mercer, all these international MNCs who are looking at, you know, someone, they have been working in India, these interesting startups, it has worked out, and then they have acquired those companies. So yeah, a lot of international players have acquired, like Little iLab was acquired by Facebook. So we're seeing those kind of exits. And the third are, you know, in the enterprise space. So some of the large Indian enterprise businesses have started, though it's very, very small right now, but there has been these couple of exits to large Indian enterprises. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exits are obviously important for investors. So we're going to take a short break, Sharma. And when we return, we're going to talk about the regulatory environment and the lending environment. So please stay with us, and we'll be back shortly.